This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Monday, July 9th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
global stocks gain as investors set aside concerns over trade tensions.
Theresa May faces a crisis over Brexit after a key cabinet member quits.
Shares of Xiaomi decline in their Hong Kong debut.
Nissan stock tumbles in Tokyo on reports it falsified inspection data.
President Trump says his decision on his Supreme Court nominee will be made by noon today, with an official announcement tonight. I'm Michael Barr. That story and more straight ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Coming up in sports, Yankees need a win to keep pace with Boston, and the All-Star rosters were unveiled.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks are gaining this morning while the dollar weakens against most major peers. It is coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures higher, up 11 points. Dow futures up 117. NASDAQ futures up 30. The DAX in Germany is up 0.4%. CAC in Paris up 0.7%. FTSE 100 up 0.4%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 1.2%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong jumped 1.3%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 2.84%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.55%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.1% or 9 cents to $73.72 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.7%, up $8.40 to $12.64.20 an ounce. The euro, $1.1770. The yen, 110.44. Bob.
We begin in the UK, where the government of Prime Minister Theresa May has been plunged into crisis. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek is live in London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Bob and Karen. Theresa May grappling with the resignation of Brexit Secretary David Davis and Brexit Minister Steve Baker. We've heard recently that Dominic Raab, who campaigned for Brexit, has been named as Davis's successor. This comes just 2 days after the Prime Minister announced cabinet backing for a plan to keep close ties with the European Union after Brexit. And Bloomberg sources say that Davis and Baker could not support that outcome. In fact, Davis's resignation letter spoke of the general direction of policy, leaving us in, at best, a weak negotiating position and possibly an inescapable one. He also told the BBC that we're giving away too much too easily. You've seen the pounds trade higher for a second day as traders see a lower chance of a no-deal Brexit, but distinct apathy from markets compared to previous twists in the story. In London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. The departure of Brexit Secretary Davis has some suggesting Theresa May's government is all but over. Danny Blanchflower is professor of economics at Dartmouth College.
The reality is she may not even survive till the middle of next week. This is ongoing kind of chaos. The party itself is tearing itself up. And the reality is the hard Brexiters have now been kind of mugged by reality.
Still, the British pound is climbing despite this latest crisis. It's trading at $1.3335.
All quiet on the trade front with no new escalation on tariffs this morning. Still, a Republican senator from Iowa is sounding the alarm on the impact levies will have on America's farmers. Joni Ernst says the sooner we see agreements on trade, the better.
Roughly 60% of our soybean crop does go to China. So if they start retaliating, we will see significant impact, very detrimental impact, not just in Iowa, but across the Midwest as well.
Republican Senator Joni Ernst speaking on CBS's Face the Nation, as heard here on Bloomberg Radio. Since Friday, agricultural producers have been voicing increased concern about the U.S.-China trade conflict. Organizations representing American farmers, pork producers, wheat growers, and soy farmers all say it will impact their business.
Meanwhile, the European Central Bank says it's watching risks from trade tensions, but that won't shake its decision to end asset purchases later this year. That's according to ECB executive board member Benoît Corré, who spoke exclusively to Bloomberg from France.
We're not complacent on the possible risks. A full-fledged trade war would be extremely bad for the world economy, starting with the U.S., by the way. So the first victim would be U.S. jobs, U.S. workers, and we very much hope that this doesn't happen.
ECB Executive Board Member Correa tells us a further escalation of tariffs could do serious damage to business confidence. We also hear from ECB President Mario Draghi today. He makes remarks at 9 a.m. Wall Street time.
Shares of Xiaomi debuted in Hong Kong today against the backdrop of those global trade tensions. The Chinese smartphone maker saw its stock fall more than 1% in its first day of trading. Bloomberg's Stephen Engel has more from Hong Kong.
Xiaomi's shares fell right out of the gates here on its IPO in the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. A lot of uncertainty about this company and its lofty valuation. Also, the true nature of its business. Is it more of a low-margin handset manufacturer, or is it, like the chairman Lei Jun says, a broader internet services company? On the one hand, Xiaomi is now a $50 billion company, the third largest in the world for handset manufacturers. But it's a far cry of an earlier estimate last year of a valuation upwards of $100 billion. Stephen Engel, Bloomberg News, Hong Kong.
Stephen, thank you. As for other assets in Asia today, stocks, currencies, commodities, and bonds all posted solid gains. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally reports from our Singapore bureau.
China's currency rose against the dollar 1 week after the country's officials emphasized they wouldn't be using the yuan as a trade policy weapon. The CSI 300 of large cap stocks in China closed higher by 2.8% to 3,459 points. A solid session for Japanese stocks, engineering and construction firms rallying after the floods there. But Nissan took a hit on reports it falsified inspection data on exhaust readings, the stock closing down at 4.5% in Tokyo to 1,003. Yen. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Nissan is now out with more details in a press conference this morning. The company said it found misconduct in exhaust emissions and fuel economy measurements at its Japan plants. Nissan reported the results to Japan's transport ministry today and says a full investigation is underway.
China's Tencent Holdings announced plans to spin off its online music business and list shares in the U.S. The move will let American investors bet on the Chinese music streaming market. Tencent's growth in China mirrors inroads made by Spotify in the U.S., where streaming has helped grow music sales at the fastest rate since the 90s. S&P futures are up 10 points this morning, and straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. Decisions, decisions on the choice to make supreme legal decisions. Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the latest. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. He was a first runner-up a year ago. Now Judge Thomas Hardiman seems to be a strong contender to be President Trump's second pick for the Supreme Court. That's according to three people familiar with the process. Of the finalists are said to be appeals court judges Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, and Raymond Keflage. Trump said yesterday as he was boarding Air Force One that he would finalize his decision by noon today.
I'm getting very close to making a final decision. Not yet. And I believe this person will do a great job.
Trump will make his official announcement at 9 p.m. Wall Street time, and Bloomberg will carry it live. Thai authorities say the second phase of the operation to rescue a youth soccer team trapped in a flooded cave is underway right now. According to CNN, an eyewitness says a fifth boy has been removed. Yesterday, four boys were pulled from the cave after more than 2 weeks underground. Affordable Care Act insurers are facing a fresh round of uncertainty that could drive up premiums or push companies to stop offering coverage through the law. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services said a months-old federal court ruling would force it to suspend what are known as risk adjustment payments. The payments are meant to help balance the insurance markets when some insurers had sicker, more costly patients. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is now in Vietnam. Pompeo left Pyongyang to get Kim Jong-un to give up his nuclear weapons. Pompeo had a dinner in Hanoi last night, offered a direct message from President Trump to Kim.
President Trump believes your country can replicate this path. It's yours if you'll seize the moment. The miracle can be yours.
While Pompeo called the meetings in North Korea productive, the regime called the visit regretful. The upper and lower houses of the French parliament will hear a speech by President Emmanuel Macron laying out his agenda. Bloomberg's Gregory Viscusi has more from Paris.
Macron's priorities are well known and no major announcements are expected, which has many people wondering why bother. Some MPs say they'll boycott the speech, saying France isn't a monarchy. Meanwhile, polls show Macron's popularity is sliding, with many French people saying they find him haughty and aloof. In Paris, Gregory Viscusi, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 6:09 on Wall Street. That's time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Bob. What makes the Yankees so dangerous is you don't know who's going to deliver offensively. Somebody usually does. This time it was Brett Gardner who knocked in the game-winning hit in the 10th inning as New York beat Toronto 2-1 on the road to take the series and the first leg of the 11-game road trip to usher in the All-Star game. Skipper Aaron Boone.
To be able to scratch a run there in the 10th, you know, it's about as good as we could have drawn it up as far as usage and everything. So, that was nice.
Yankees will have four All-Stars this year, starter Aaron Judge and reserve Gleyber Torres. On the mound, Luis Severino and Aroldis Chapman rounded out. Yankees remain two games back of the Red Sox, who swept Kansas City on the road and have won six straight. Yankees visit Baltimore. It's a doubleheader. CeCe gets the ball in the first game. Mets were blanked by the Rays 9-0 at Citi Field. Former Yankee Nathan Uvalde shut down New York as the Mets conjured up just two base hits. Mets lost the series and find themselves 13.5 back. They'll host the Phillies also as a part of a doubleheader. Zach Wheeler starts us off. Jacob deGrom is the lone Mets All-Star selection. World Cup, the Final Four is set as England meets Croatia. France takes on Belgium to start us off on Tuesday. And Wimbledon, top-rated Roger Federer is in action this morning at 8 a.m. He'll be followed by American John Isner. He plays at 10:30 Eastern. Rafael Nadal in action at 12:30. In ladies' action, Serena Williams seeded 25th. She plays at 10:30. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thanks, Rob Buschka. This is believed to be a first in Major League Baseball. The Kansas City Royals have signed a 16-year-old pitcher out of junior high school in Japan. Keito Yuki is listed at 6'2", 170 pounds, and his fastball has been clocked at 88 miles an hour. Yuki is believed to be the youngest player from Japan to sign with a big league team. S&P futures up 10 points. And the sports report was brought to you by Investors Bank. Connect with the experts at Investors Bank. With strong relationships and customized solutions, they work with your business every step of the way. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are gaining this morning with S&P futures up 11 points, Dow futures up 113, NASDAQ futures up 28. DAX in Germany is up 0.3%, 10-year Treasury down 8/32nd, yield 2.85%, yield on the 2-year 2.55%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.3% or 22 cents to $73.58 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.7% or $8.50 to $12.64.30 an ounce. And the euro, $1.1767. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the next phase of a Thai cave rescue operation is underway. CNN is reporting that according to an eyewitness, a fifth boy has been rescued. The remaining members of a youth soccer team have been trapped in a flooded cave for more than 2 weeks. Yesterday, four of the boys were pulled from the cave to safety. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets lost, along with the Orioles and Nationals, the Red Sox, A's, and Giants, all winners. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. Now 6:18 on Wall Street. Let's get you set up for the day and the week ahead around the world. Helping us do that here in New York is Joe Weisenthal, head of the America's News Desk for Bloomberg News. In London, senior executive editor Heather Harris. And in Sydney, we're joined by top editor Emma O'Brien. Emma, let's start with you. All the talk about trade tensions is bubbling under, but we're actually seeing another rally for global stocks, including the biggest gain in China since 2016?
Yeah, it seems for Chinese markets, it was a bit of sell the rumor and buy the fact going on. stocks in the yuan really rallying today. Some people said it was because the 25% tariff rollout went as anticipated. There were no surprise tweets from President Trump or extra pushback from China. But the likes of Credit Suisse and others say that stock losses in China will resume, that they haven't fully priced in the extent of the trade war and the capital outflows that the yuan's recent losses have triggered. But the bigger question, I think, is what happens now in terms of that trade fight. The sense is the US and China aren't having talks, that communication over trade is really stalled. And from China's perspective, they'll be waiting for Trump. Maybe he acts on his pledge to put tariffs on more Chinese products, all their exports to the US, he said at one stage, or maybe he feels that he's achieved what he wanted to and he backs down. But that uncertainty will continue to hang over the market, at least in China, I think.
And over to you, Heather, in London. UK Brexit ministers have quit, and that has thrown Theresa May's government into crisis.
Yeah, and it looks like she's actually moved to contain that crisis pretty quickly, naming a new Brexit secretary 12 hours after David Davis quit around midnight last night, with Dominic Raab, a surprise candidate, really, young, quite young and experienced. But he's a Brexiter, and that will be important for the Brexiters in her cabinet, in her team, to keep the balance intact and perhaps not face further resignations at this point.
And here at home, Joe, President Trump's big reveal.
Yeah, excuse me, tonight at 9 Eastern time, he's going to be revealing who is going to be his nominee for the Supreme Court. It appears to be down to 4, all people very solidly conservative. The goal, I think, is to get someone without too much drama through the nomination process. He's expected to be able to fill the seat, but obviously he doesn't have that many votes to spare in the Senate, so you want to avoid alienating any theoretical moderates. Of course, one of the big questions is, how would a next future Supreme Court justice rule on Roe versus Wade, which regards the state's ability to regulate abortion? And there are a number of moderate Republicans who are a little bit unsure on this, so they don't want anything that will sort of alienate them too obviously.
Emma, North Korea has reminded the Trump administration that its nuclear weapons won't come cheap.
Yeah, it seems getting Pyongyang to follow through is harder than it looks. Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, had what seems to be a very frustrating trip to the North Korean capital. The North Koreans seemed intent on putting him in his place, exerting their sort of home ground advantage. They put him up in a weird, isolated part of the city. They made him sit through a bunch of banquets, and they pushed back rhetorically in their inimitable way, saying the U.S. demands for North Korea to give up its nuclear arsenal were gangster-like. You know, it shows what's probably, it's going to be a long and bumpy road to getting them to give up these nukes, and hard to tell if Donald Trump will have the patience, which is what will make it all pretty interesting, I think.
Heather, President Trump is attending the NATO summit in Brussels this week. Then he visits the UK to meet with the Queen and the weakened Prime Minister.
That's right, yes. So all the action here in Europe, NATO, we expect, you know, the usual comments from Trump about Europeans not doing enough to boost spending, with a particular eye on Angela Merkel, of course. Then he goes to London, as you say. Now, of course, the country may be in a very sunny mood if England manages to beat Croatia on Wednesday evening in the World Cup semi-finals. But he's really avoiding central London. He's visiting Blenheim Palace. He's having tea with the Queen. And really, May, obviously, is, as you point out, has much bigger issues to deal with domestic politics, to worry too much about this. But the UK is counting on US backing, particularly the Brexiters, to get a good trade deal with them.
Joe, investors focused on earnings in the week ahead, particularly bank earnings, the bank earnings season beginning on Friday.
Yeah, very exciting. We finally get earnings season again. There will be lots of issues that people want to hear about. Still, what are the effects of tax reform? And then, of course, what are the effects of trade and the incipient trade war that we've seen, whether that's showing up in business at all? And plus other things like the strong dollar during the quarter and what extent that proved to be a headwind. So a lot of questions out there right now, and we should start to get some answers in the weeks ahead, as you mentioned, starting with banks later this week.
And Heather, very quickly, European Central Bank President Mario Draghi speaking.
That's right. So he speaks to the Monetary Affairs Committee of the European Parliament this afternoon. Normally doesn't give too much away at these, but investors will be dissecting every word for any sense of when, you know, we see an end to QE and potentially the first rate hike later next year. We had a scoop on Bloomberg News last week about how some members of the council were not happy the way markets had interpreted that.
Okay, thank you very much, Joe Weisenthal in New York, and Senior Editor Heather Harris in London, and Top Editor Emma O'Brien in Sydney for our week ahead look. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Willoughby's since 1898, New York City's boutique camera store for precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras, plus a full selection of GoPro action-adventure cameras. Willoughby's, corner of 5th Avenue and 35th Street.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning. It is 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are rising around the world as we kick off a new trading week. Investors are setting aside concern about escalating trade tensions to focus instead on earnings season later this week. The Shanghai Composite Index jumped 2.5%, the most since May of 2016, following seven straight weekly declines.
In the UK, Prime Minister Theresa May's government was thrown into crisis after Brexit Secretary David Davis resigned in protest over her plans for a soft exit from the EU. Bloomberg's Thomas Penney reports from London.
Until now, most of May's struggles have been with lawmakers in a Conservative Party opposed to Brexit. But now she will have to fight hard to win the support of those who most passionately back divorce from the bloc. They have a long history of rebellion and will be reluctant to back down. They may even launch a challenge to May's leadership. By the time Donald Trump arrives on Thursday, she could be fighting for her job. In London, Thomas Penny, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Thomas. And the UK has announced this morning that it will replace Davis with Dominic Raab as its new Brexit secretary.
European Central Bank President Mario Draghi addresses the European Parliament today and may shed light on the timing of a rate increase next year. We hear from him at 9 a.m. Wall Street time.
In Asia today, shares of Xiaomi fell more than 1% in their Hong Kong debut. An escalating trade war and uncertainty about its valuation combined to dampen the Chinese smartphone maker's IPO.
Nissan shares fell more than 4%. The Japanese automaker says it found, quote, misconduct in exhaust emissions and fuel economy measurement tests at its Japan plants.
And China's car sales declined in June as the trade dispute with the U.S. intensified. Retail sales of cars, SUVs, and multipurpose vehicles fell 3.7% last month. It is now 6:32 on Wall Street. That's time for your Volatility Index report. And the VIX fell on Friday to close at 13.37. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently lower by 0.2%. It is now at 13.28. That's this morning's Volatility report.
And futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 11 points. Dow futures up 111. NASDAQ futures up 28. The 10-year Treasury down 8/32nds, yield 2.85%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.2%, down 16 cents to $73.64 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.7%, up $9.20 to $12.65 an ounce. The euro, $1.1765. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. President Trump's big Supreme Court reveal. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the latest. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. President Trump will announce his pick for the Supreme Court tonight. The president yesterday, as he was about to board Air Force One, says the list is short.
Let's say it's the four people, and they're excellent. Everyone, you can't go wrong. But I'm getting very close to making a final decision.
It's believed the final four individuals are judges Brett Kavanaugh, Thomas Hardiman, Amy Coney Barrett, and Raymond Kethledge. Trump will officially make his announcement tonight at 9 p.m. Wall Street time, and Bloomberg will carry it live. According to multiple reports, a fifth boy has been rescued from a flooded cave in Thailand as a dangerous bid to rescue the remaining people trapped continues. The second phase of the operation to the rescue is now believed that eight members of the youth soccer team are still inside. Elite divers guided four of them out over the weekend. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is in Vietnam this morning, saying the country is an example for North Korea because it has had strong economic growth after normalizing ties with the U.S. Pompeo spoke at a dinner in Hanoi last night.
I hope that the United States, that one day we can share the same relationship with North Korea. We know it's a real possibility because we see how Vietnam has traveled this remarkable path.
North Korean leaders called U.S. demands gangster-like after talks with Pompeo over the weekend. Pompeo had left Pyongyang saying the meetings were positive. President Trump is still weighing whether to agree to an interview in special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation, but there's concern about what he sees as a corrupt and tainted probe. That's according to Trump's attorney Rudy Giuliani on ABC's This Week.
We've been through everything on collusion and obstruction. We can't find an incriminating anything. And we need a basis for this investigation.
Giuliani says they are close to making a determination, but a decision has been put off as more details emerge about bias on the part of the investigators. The Metropolitan Police launched a murder inquiry after a British woman who was exposed to the nerve agent Novichok in Amesbury died yesterday. The Japanese government says at least 110 people have died or are presumed dead from the heavy rains, floods, and mudslides that have struck western Japan. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 6:35 on Wall Street. That's time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning to you, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. Yankees come up clutch on the road in extras. 2-1 thanks to Brett Gardner, who crushed the game-winning base hit in Toronto. You couple that with solid pitching from starter Domingo Germán, who allowed a run in six innings, and it made for a great day, said manager Aaron Boone.
He's going to go pitch and do his thing. I think for him, it's just about repeating that delivery and having his mechanics in line to where he's commanding the ball. But I don't ever worry about a situation getting the best of him or anything like that. He handles himself well in those spots.
Chad Green earned the win out of the bullpen. He's 5-1. Yankees are two back of the Red Sox, who've won six in a row after sweeping Kansas City. Yankees will play two in Baltimore. CC Sabathia starts us off at 4:05. Yankees will also send four players to the All-Star game next week in Washington. Starter Aaron Judge, reserve Gleyber Torres, and pitchers Luis Severino and Aroldis Chapman. Mets were whitewashed 9-0 by the Rays at Citi Field, who took the series. Mets scraped together just two base hits. They'll also play two at Citi Field today when the Phillies visit at 4:10. Zach Wheeler on the mound for the Mets will send Jacob deGrom to the All-Star game for the second time in his career. World Cup, France meets Belgium on Tuesday for a spot in the final. England takes on Croatia on Wednesday to round it out. MLS local bragging rights for now goes to New York City FC, who downed the Red Bulls 1-0. Tennis, Wimbledon, Roger Federer and John Isner in action this morning, while Serena Williams plays this afternoon. In golf, Kevin Na wins at Greenbrier, Phil Mickelson 18 shots back. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Rob Bushka, thank you. Now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
When law enforcement agents seek information on guns found at crime scenes, they call the Federal Firearms Tracing Center in West Virginia. Agents there try to establish a chain of custody based on a gun's serial number, manufacturer, distributor, and retailer. The agents pursue this task in the most inefficient manner imaginable, manually searching records, about 800 million of them, because federal law prevents the center from organizing them in a searchable digital database. This absurd prohibition needs to be lifted. The Crime Gun Tracing Modernization Act would require the tracing center and federally licensed firearm retailers to digitize records and compile a searchable database. Law enforcement organizations support the legislation. Every responsible member of Congress should do the same. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. For more Bloomberg opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Now that the Supreme Court has said states can collect taxes on online sales, there's a question about whether they can collect those taxes retroactively. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
The way it would work is that states would contact vendors and say,
"We're going to go ahead and say that you owe taxes back all the way from maybe 5-6 years ago," which could really put a lot of small, medium businesses at a huge economic risk.
Ryan Preet writes for Bloomberg Tax. He says the Supreme Court decision did seem to lean against retroactive taxes.
What Justice Anthony Kennedy did say, he wrote the opinion, he suggested that states that did not go after retroactive back taxes would have a better chance of their law being constitutional.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. Now 6:39 on Wall Street, time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. So, has it been hot enough for you? Heat waves are part of every summer, of course, dating back to, well, at least as far back as Johnny Carson's frequent topic on The Tonight Show.
Okay, I'll tell you, it was really hot today.
These days, instead of how hot was it, the question has become, is this climate change? Scientists hesitate to link any single weather event to global warming, but the National Weather Service says the general warming of the planet makes heat waves likely to be more frequent going forward than they have been in the past. For example, 2016 was the warmest year on record globally, and that year saw the most all-time heat records broken around the world. This year could be shaping up to be even hotter. A week ago, Iran experienced its hottest July temperature ever, 127 degrees Fahrenheit. Private forecasting service Weather Underground says the heat that's gripped much of the U.S. this summer is the kind of thing you expect to see on a warming planet. It's easier to set a heat record.
It was so hot today I saw a robin dipping his worm in Nest tea.
And that's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. S&P futures currently up 10 points. That is a third of 1%. 10-year Treasury prices down 8/32. The yield at 2.8509%. And coming up, the Bloomberg Morning Call, brought to you by Columbia Bank, with 48 locations across New Jersey. You're never far from Columbia's wide range of banking solutions, from personal to business banking to mobile and online. You can always count on Columbia. Visit ColumbiaBankOnline.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street, and futures are moving higher this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. Like you said, U.S. futures are trading higher right now, with Dow futures up 108 points. S&P's gain 11, while the Nasdaq futures climb by 29. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.85%, and Shanghai rose 2.5% overnight. Well, European markets are also climbing, led by gains in France and Spain. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 3 o'clock, consumer credit. Regarding earnings this morning, Helen of Troy beat estimates. And in other news, PayPal CEO told Handelsblatt the company is aiming for billion-dollar acquisitions. And Netflix's price target raised to $4.50 from $3.70 over at Barclays. Wrapping things up, Baidu was upgraded to outperform at Credit Suisse. Procter & Gamble was cut to hold at Jefferies. Dunkin' Brands upgraded to neutral at Longbow. And American Tower downgraded to market perform at Raymond James. Live from the First Rebecca News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And earnings season kicks off on Wall Street this week. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Banks will be front and center as Wall Street's focus shifts to earnings. American companies are posting the best results in a decade. Wayne Wicker is Chief Investment Officer at ICMA Retirement Corp.
Underlying earnings growth of S&P 500 companies is going to continue to be strong, and I think that that should lead investors to feel a little bit more comfortable going into the fourth quarter, especially after mid-year elections.
J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup start the bank earnings season. We'll also be hearing from soft drink maker PepsiCo. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. President Trump is still deciding on a Supreme Court nominee. The president said yesterday that he'll probably decide by noon today. The president will announce his nominee at 9 p.m. Wall Street time from the White House, and Bloomberg will carry it live. Rescue efforts resume today in northern Thailand. According to multiple reports, a fifth boy has been freed. Four boys were rescued from the cave yesterday. The ACLU says it appears the Trump administration will miss a court-ordered deadline tomorrow to reunite many of the immigrant children with their parents. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets lost along with the Orioles and Nationals. The Red Sox, A's, and Giants were all winners. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, give JetBlue some of that doggy sugar. They rescued a French bulldog suffering from respiratory distress.
I decided that we needed to consider using oxygen to support the animal.
A crew member, Renaud Fenster, noticed Darcy turning blue last week on a flight from Florida to Massachusetts. He helped the owner put an oxygen mask on Darcy and managed to revive the dog, Bob.
I could say something like, if dogs were meant to fly, they'd have wings, but I won't.
Good. Global News, 24 hours a day. Good for you, Darcy. On air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries, I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
I am so glad for Darcy, though. It is 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump announcing his nominee for U.S. Supreme Court Justice tonight at 9 p.m., and we will bring that to you live right here on Bloomberg Radio. Mike Pompeo's latest visit to North Korea, meantime, is ruffling feathers, with Pyongyang calling the Secretary of State's demands, quote, gangster-like. And on Capitol Hill, lawmakers return to work after last week's 4th of July recess. Let's take a closer look at President Trump's possible picks for the Supreme Court now with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, good morning. Run us through these names again and what their records look like.
Well, it sounds like the president's looking at a field of about four candidates, with perhaps two of them kind of emerging potentially here at the final stages as the front runners. One of them is Brett Kavanaugh, who's an appeals court judge, and the other one is also an appeals court judge, Thomas Hardiman. Both were considered during the process of selecting Neil Gorsuch, who was Trump's first nominee to the court very early in his presidency. And so I guess we'll find out tonight which one it will be. However, they both are appeals court judges, and they both have, you know, very strong conservative records from the bench.
Okay, Kathleen, are any of these choices seen as having a better shot than others to be selected by the president?
Well, I do think that Kavanaugh is someone who has been kind of seen as the front runner all along. He is being backed by Don McGahn, who's the White House counsel, and he's running the search process. So that would give him kind of a leg up. But Hardiman is seemed to emerge in the final hours as potentially a strong candidate, and is someone who serves actually on the appeals court with Trump's sister, and so who's a judge. So it seems like that could give him a leg up as well.
And again, 9 o'clock tonight, Wall Street time, you can hear the president's decision on Bloomberg Radio and television. As we mentioned, North Korea, Kim Jong-un's administration seems to be none too pleased with how its conversation went with Mike Pompeo over the weekend. And refresh us, Kathleen, on what they're saying and how Pompeo is framing those talks.
Well, it's really kind of a bit of a the optics of it are pretty bad for the White House and the Trump administration, because, you know, they came out of these talks once again, you know, saying that they had gone really well and kind of boasting of what they, you know, good relations and what they thought had been achieved, only to have Pyongyang kind of undercut that by issuing a statement saying that the talks were regrettable and basically bashing Pompeo's approach, which they characterized as very unilateral in their demands for denuclearization. So I think what we're seeing here is kind of the art of kind of international diplomacy here, where in some ways it looks like the White House is being outmaneuvered.
So was this a bargaining point for North Korea, or are they backing out?
Well, I think it could be either at this point. We'll have to kind of see what the next stages are. But I think that it's something that North Korea experts have warned about all along, which is that Kim Jong-un and his predecessors have been very willing to kind of initially say that they want to come to the table to talk, because doing that gives them some international legitimacy on the world stage, but that they're not really willing to make any concessions. And when the, you know, the rubber really meets the road, they only back away from that. And so I think that could be what we're seeing happening here.
Later this week, President Trump heads to Brussels to meet with NATO country leaders. Set the stage for us there. It could shape up to be quite a confrontational meeting, right?
Yeah, well, the president certainly didn't necessarily do himself any favors or set things up to get off on the right foot when he basically criticized the other NATO countries for what he characterizes as, you know, substandard defense spending, basically saying they should be spending more on defense and that the U.S. shouldn't be the one kind of having to be the world's policeman. This has been in keeping with his whole kind of America first philosophy, but it definitely adds another element of tension between the U.S. and its fellow NATO members heading into the summit. And, you know, that's on top of, obviously, there's a whole lot of tension right now around trade with the steel and aluminum tariffs that the U.S. decided to impose in March. So it could be a very interesting meeting.
And the president has sent letters to these leaders saying the U.S. is losing its patience on what they're paying for defense spending.
Yeah, that's right. So basically, the U.S. wants to see these other countries kind of up their spending on defense. That, again, is not surprising in some ways in that it's keeping with Trump's overall philosophy. But it certainly, I think, and particularly the fact that those letters were leaked, I think, you know, creates a lot more tension between the U.S. and its European allies.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you very much. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Karen.
All right, thanks, Bob. It is 6:55 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. And here's John Tucker.
The share of small firms with open job positions rose to 36% in June, matching November 2000 as the highest in monthly records dating back to 1973. A National Federation of Independent Business report also showed that 21% of small business owners say finding qualified workers is their biggest problem. The report goes on to say that absent significant increases in the size of the labor force, owners will increasingly be pirating workers from other firms rather than new entrants in the labor force. There will also be compromises in qualifications and more resources invested in training both new employees and existing workers. With increasing competition for workers, you would expect small business owners to pay more. However, the net share of small businesses that raised compensation eased to 31% last month from an all-time high of 35% in May. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John, thank you. Three reports on inflation headline this week's U.S. economic calendar with data on import, producer, and consumer prices. We get more from Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice.
Inflation has been running at or near the Federal Reserve's target. Tariffs could send business and consumer costs higher in the months ahead, especially if the White House extends its trade barriers. Among other reports on this week's calendar, consumer credit, job openings, and the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index. Vinnie Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinnie, thank you. S&P futures are up 11 points this morning. Dow futures up 108. NASDAQ futures up 28. The DAX in Germany's up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 2.84%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.55%. NYMEX crude oil lower down 0.2%. And Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Pim Fox coming up on Bloomberg Radio. For our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.